It's Saturday night, June 21st. I was reminded it's the summer solstice. So it's the day with the most amount of light to it, which is very apropos for receiving two very venerable senior monks from Thailand, Lumpur Khun and Lumpur Damrong. And they arrived around a little bit after 5 p.m. and usually expect to see people after 24 hours of travel, more than that, a bit tired. And they were just so very inspiring to see their countenance. They were very happy and jovial. And so it was quite beautiful to have that, the two of them arrive like that. And then Lord Porcoon was talking about his years as a monk. He said he was 59. I think this is his 59th Vasa. And then he said he might have a couple more, but he was 2 years as a novice. So, wow, 61 years in the robes. That's just so inspiring to hear. And, I think about a life well lived as a monk like that and what it must take to just really continue the life and stay in the robes and find fulfillment and happiness. And that requires, really what the Buddha teaches about right effort. And so it's not an easy thing to do. I don't know if I've ever heard any practitioner with the Buddha's teachings saying that they have an easy time of it. So I was thinking about what to talk about tonight, and I thought of just something that's been coming up for me around receiving feedback. And surely that's something that we as monastics and as the Buddha teaches to all followers of his path, that it's something that is very important to the life of a practitioner, and so important that he gives a lot of emphasis and teachings about receiving feedback well. And he talks to, there's certain rules about how we receive feedback and what we're supposed to hold in mind when giving feedback and what we're supposed to hold in mind when receiving it. And this doesn't make it easy just having these teachings available, because we all have our tendencies, our baggage, the habits that we bring into our lives. And when we begin practice, then still these tendencies can pull us around. And so this is something, how we're given feedback, how we're kind of talked to about ways that we might be behaving. For everyone, it just comes through differently based on our past karma. And there are certain people who can receive criticism or being told ways that they might be able to improve, or even ways they might have been harmful or hurtful to another person, that this just sort of is not a problem for them, and they find it very easy to hear. And then also, not just that, but they find it easy to correct in themselves. But my experience is that that's pretty rare. And I think the Buddha's teaching around not self really highlights how often, if we're receiving feedback, we can see how difficult it is. And my experience is that the more that there is an attachment to my sense of identity and self and me and mind and what I am and how I think of myself and perceive myself, then the more difficult it is for me to let go of those things that I'm hearing, and to really say like, oh, okay, this is something I can really see very clearly and work on, and this is true, and to really face this without having a lot of mixed feelings about what's being said. So I thought I'd just talk about some of my own experiences with that, and I'm still very much a learner in this regard, and sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I'm possibly regarded as someone who can receive feedback well, and other times I'm not, and those perceptions also bounce around in my head. And so it's not usually very clear, and so what we're trying to sort out for ourselves is really like what it is that we're hearing that's really true, and how can it help us, and also to be very careful about what it is that the other person is saying and to treat that with a lot of respect and care. The Buddha talks about this kind of expression from another person as being handed a gem, a very sacred object, an object that is worth something, that is something we would value very much. And with something like a bright and shining gem, we would think this is very valuable. This is something that we want and that is helpful to us. But when we hear those things, sometimes we do the opposite and we think, how could this person give me excrement? How could they give me something so dark? And we want to deny it and not let it in. So I thought there were just some stories. I remember that one of the first lessons I've had, I've talked about this before, but it was very powerful for me, was when I was in Anagarika, and it just had to do with something that I was doing when I was making oatmeal. And one of the people who lived around the monastery and came a few times a week said, hey, why don't you throw any of the oatmeal cookies we make into the leftover oatmeal and serve it the next day like that. Oh, that's smart. Why don't I just throw all of the dessert that we get in the monastery that has been left over and throw it in. So I was throwing in cakes and all kinds of cookies and many things. Oh, great. This is wonderful. And sure, I'm getting through that dessert. And there was this funny etiquette that you'd put out I, of course, only gave the monks the oatmeal that was new and didn't have any dessert in it, partly because I think I was trying to avoid any feedback about that. Later, Ajahn Yanako, then Tanyanako, told me that he felt that I'd left out the bhikkhus from such a nice thing. But that was not what happened in the story, because one of these days that I was doing this, and as I said, there was this etiquette where you'd also put out the new oatmeal, and the etiquette was, well, let's get through the day-old oatmeal first. So people would kind of be, who didn't want this stuff, might be waiting back a while till it was no longer there, had already been eaten. And so I had, one of these days, I had not done that at all. It was just regular oatmeal that it was left over. And one of the people who was living in the monastery, I wasn't a bhikkhu, said to me, what did you add to the oatmeal today, the leftover oatmeal today? And I said, nothing. And heart starts beating a little bit. And, well, it's not like that disgustingly sweet stuff that you make. You didn't add any of that to it? And I said, no, I didn't. At that point, there were all of the guests in the monastery and the other anagarikas and novice. And I just felt so, you know, my heart's beating and I just felt awful and embarrassed. And I thought everybody was judging me and thinking about how terrible of a person I was. I was surprised that I didn't actually just walk out of the room, but I managed to take some oatmeal and go to the other room. And Danny, of Danny, Julian, and Leo, who this is 20 years ago, came up behind me while I was eating, and he said, wow, that was amazing. And I thought, what are you talking about? It's like, what's he talking about? What's amazing? And he said, I can't believe he didn't react in that situation. And I just thought, What do you mean? Like, I was just completely embarrassed in front of all those people. I just kind of scampered away. And I said, no, you didn't say anything back. You didn't retort. You didn't. And I can say that was valuable, yes, not to do that. But I think I was just too afraid and embarrassed to have said anything. But that was a valuable lesson to me, because my perception was not that anyone would have said that to me. My perception was everyone in that room thought I was an idiot. And it wasn't this other person who had said that who looked like an idiot. It was me. And so that lesson was really in kind of understanding perception and seeing like, oh, okay. So that there's really a sense that there can be some value in just holding one's tongue and really seeing clearly into a situation, which I didn't at the time, that there's a better way to react, and that it's in fact the other person who comes out with that criticism that looked very bad, that looked... and then had to face the karma of their tongue, had to face the repercussions of having said that and the negative comma that then, you know, having put that out into the space, into the room and towards me and all of that. And of course, I had to then reflect on all the desserts and the oatmeal as well. But that was just so helpful for me to really have a sense of that misperception I had, and also that there was the value in trying to receive something, even if it was out of, you know, the heart beating and being very afraid or upset, just quietly. And so just juxtaposing that to something that happened, you know, in the more recent past, where, like, yeah, it was just a few monks in a room, and one of the monks had commented to me, probably as a joke, that I would take an opportunity to give a very long Dhamma talk with, like, whatever it was, no schedule in the morning or something. And my immediate reaction, you know, was, unfortunately, it was kind of like, I wouldn't do that. You know, I don't usually give a long Dhamma talk, so I wouldn't do that. And then I was, you would do that. And I've heard you give an hour long Dhamma talk. I said, really? Oh, I didn't perceive that I've given an hour long Dhamma talk in a while. And then it's, and then it was about a lot, very long tea time talks and a 2-hour tea time talk. I said, really? Wow, I don't remember that. And so it became this, from probably what was a joke comment, to then all of a sudden it became this sort of defensive and, you know, more like serious or problematic thing that was perceiving. And of course, there were a couple of other people in the room. I think there were two others. And so that made it harder. And that's an effect of receiving feedback in front of others as well. And so I reflected on that and I thought, right. Like, there was like a seriousness that I took to something that could have been much more lighthearted, and just said, maybe I would take an opportunity, maybe 3 or 4 hours I could give a Dhamma talk or something like that. Whatever it might be, in the moment, I didn't see clearly. It was just to defend. And that's unfortunately what can occur. The arms go up and the armor is put on, and then it's kind of a sense of like, I need to defend myself. There's other people in the room. Whereas, you know, if it's really like kind of seen very clearly, it's just this sort of, it wasn't an innocuous comment, but it could have been turned into that. I was thinking about how in there's a camp called Camp Win a Rainbow, and it's run by Wavy Gravy, who was the MC at Woodstock back in the day. I think he was the person who said, like, who ordered McDonald's for 20,000 or something like that. And anyway, he runs this camp and he attends the board meetings. And there's a rule in the board meetings that says that any time a board member or anyone present in the board meeting says the word serious, then they have to wear a clown nose, one of those red big clown nose, for the rest of the meeting. And if you can imagine what that's like, you know, somebody in a board meeting says, well, this is, you know, our budget's kind of not doing well and this is really serious. And you said it. And so then one has to wear one of these red clown noses. And so that's it. And you can imagine that in a kind of a serious board meeting. How funny that would be and how helpful that is. And if we can kind of think about that in the same way, you know, we receive feedback, we receive something. And even if it's in front of others, we want to kind of imagine that, like, okay, I'm wearing the clown nose now. And just to dampen down the sort of seriousness of how we feel about something. And so often with receiving feedback, there is that helpful response that we can have if we're able to remind ourselves, like, okay, like, this doesn't have to become like World War III here. This doesn't have to become a very serious problem. You know, even it, you know, just try to think about the humor in the situation or the, you know, just remind ourselves, like, can I joke about myself? Can I kind of be a little bit more openly self-critical or joking about myself in a way, and really feel that at the same time, feel that internally. And it's hard. It's difficult to do when, you know, we're in certain situations and we find it hard. And then that can come up as criticism for ourselves. Why didn't I handle myself better in that situation? But as Lumpur Cha was teaching us, that the phrase he says, to repeat that word, that everything is teaching us. you know, that we really have an opportunity to take in no matter what happens as a teaching. In particular, one of the things I remember is quoted of him is to say, like, well, when people criticize you, you know, someone calls you a dog, just turn around and see if you have a tail. Well, if you have a tail, then they're right. And that's true. And you just can take that in and say, okay, I'm a dog. But if you don't have a tail, then it doesn't really matter, does it? Because they're wrong. So if we honestly assess that with ourselves, then we can say, okay, what is our understanding? Did somebody said this about me? Is it true? You know, can I really understand that about myself? And just, if it's true, it's true. I can examine that, explore it, understand it. And if it's not, it's not. I don't need to make a big deal out of it and call this an unjust situation and make an enemy for the rest of my life. So I wanted to also, I recalled a more recent time where I invited a monk. I just wanted to check in with him about something, you know, with that had happened when I was driving one of the vehicles. And I asked, I really wanted to know, you know, like, okay, what's going on? Is there something wrong with this? And that felt, and that does feel more comfortable when you enter into a situation where you're asking for feedback, you're alone with someone. And I find that very helpful, actually, and I encourage that, actually, with any of the community members. And what was said was that I think you drive too fast.
Oh.
And I thought, yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that. And that's true. I drive too fast in these side-by-side vehicles that we have around the monastery. And then I started to recall, yeah, so-and-so said that, Ajikudama told me that, so-and-so said that. All right, yeah, that's okay. Definitely true. And I've been ignoring that, or I've been sometimes remembering and sometimes not, but mostly ignoring it. So I kind of thought to myself, all right, fair enough. And I said, yeah, that is a dog with a tail. That's true. I felt like very much I could own up to that. And I think that what had helped set up that situation is that I really had talked to myself. I had encouraged myself, like, you know, like, really take this in, whatever is bothering this other monk, you know, really kind of ask that genuinely, you know, what is genuinely there. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt or I didn't kind of feel something from that wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like, great, that's wonderful. Because it was kind of like, yeah, that is true about me. I'm not taking that seriously. And then that, the perception that can have, the danger, even before I had recognized that the perception I have of my driving is a little bit different than I think those who are driving with me. And so I started to work with that. And to my surprise, I found, well, it did take mindfulness to remember that, but I also found that there was some joy in that. Not just in taking up the feedback, but actually driving slowly. And I reported that to this monk because I felt like what you had given me was very valuable. What you had told me was very valuable. And it helped me in many, many different ways. And so now I'm seeing like, oh, you're forgetting again. Try to drive slower. It's too fast. But I'm also just seeing the benefit of that feedback because one of the people who I think was driving with me a lot, we were talking together and he seemed to be in a lot better mood. While we were driving, and I saw, oh, this person's now much more relaxed and even happy. And that perception, I think, is interesting because, like, for me, it was a perception, well, I'm in control and I, you know, I think I'm being safe. But when there's other people having a different perception, it's completely different than that. You know, it's we can think that we're right in a situation, but we're not living in another person's experience. And so we can't often see that. And that's why feedback is so valuable, because then we have an opportunity to really receive something that we didn't know about ourselves, or we're just blind. And if we're blind about something, then we will possibly take that to our death. And we will bring that into our next life. And that's so dangerous. Well, it's very dangerous for us. And so no matter what happens with our receiving feedback, and again, I'm coming at this, talking about this as a learner, as someone who is still learning, I could say I probably did better in that experience as an anagarika than I have in other times later in my life as a bhikkhu. And if we can use this, if we can really try to take in this reflection for ourselves, asking ourselves, like, where do I fall short in this regard? You know, when somebody says something to me, does it have to be in the most perfect way? Or do I have to be in a particular mood to receive it? Am I able to kind of not make an excuse for what they're saying? Or can I at least listen to it? And even if I feel that it's wrong, just take that in for a while and keep asking myself, am I a dog? Is that right? Did I get that feedback right? Or, you know, am I not perceiving something? Am I not understanding something? And if there is a misunderstanding, then it might be the right thing to talk to the person who gave us that feedback and say, like, actually, that wasn't me. But take some time, you know, as long as we've taken time, or at least tell the person, you know, I thought a lot about what you said. And this is my perception of what's going on. What do you think about that? Because the tendency is really usually about defense. There's nothing wrong with me, or it's all wrong with you. Or we go the opposite direction. Yeah, I am such a terrible person. I'm just bad at everything. And we don't realize, like, the person is giving us something valuable about a specific thing in our life. And that's where we want to focus on that specific thing, because they're giving us this particular gem for us to have and to hold and to look at and examine and explore. I remember hearing from, it was then Ajahn Sanyama was talking about a way that Master Hua from the City of 10,000 Buddhas tradition would sometimes use with his disciples. And he would sometimes say to a disciple who he knew didn't do something that occurred in the community, he would say, oh, you know, this happened, and I, you know, and whatever it was, he would accuse them, or he would say something to them, or implying that it was them, and knowing that it wasn't. And the purpose was just to see the reaction of that person. Because if you've ever been in a situation where you are accused of something you didn't do, especially when you know it was somebody else, you know, how do you take that in? You know, how do you receive that? I think for most people, it's like, this is completely unfair. That wasn't me. I had nothing to do with that. In fact, I tried to stop that other person from doing that. And the reaction is then, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You got it wrong. But again, a more beautiful reception of that is just, okay, this is what's being said to me. There's nothing wrong with just receiving it quietly. And if there is a reason later on to have to talk to the person, in this case, Master Hua, to let him know, actually, that wasn't me, or just maybe to just live with that sense that the other person got it wrong, and you know the truth about yourself. Again, you looked, you saw you don't have a tail, and that's what's important, rather than correcting the other person's perception and saying, hey, no, you got it wrong, I got to, you know, help you with your perception, make sure you understand that I'm actually an all right guy, and there's no problem here, and it's the other guy who's got the problem. And so we live that without ability to be misunderstood. And we remind ourselves of that it's okay. You know, it is okay for even to be in a situation where everybody's blaming you for something and you know the truth about yourself. Because there's value in that. There's value in learning to live with that sense of injustice or that sense of negative perception. And you work with that internally. That sense of, no, it wasn't me. And yet over and over, you keep that in until equanimity can arise and you let it go. There was a time ago when I received a lot of group criticism. And while I handled it extremely well, I impressed myself actually, in the moment, the afterwards was not handled very well. Because I stewed on it and I complained to myself about it and all kinds of things I said that were wrong about it. Surprisingly, it wasn't really actually so much the what was criticized about, but how it was done. And even to this day, it still bothers me, but I try to remind myself, look, you're going to die. There's just not that much time to really put much thought into people getting things wrong and trying to straighten out their perceptions. There's not that much time to practice the path, to understand the truths that the Buddha talked to us about. It's it's a waste of time to try to sort through things or write an injustice like that. People spend their whole lives trying to right injustices and they recognize that the world is just unjust. That's samsara. And so the more we recognize this, the more we can step aside and say, like, how do I really understand this clinging to self, this clinging to me and mine and preserving myself and making sure that I'm all right in everybody's perception? And we start to really try to see how we can let go of that. And we reflect on that over and over again. How can I let go of this? So, of course, we might not come to a sense that when somebody gives us some criticism or feedback that we feel like, that's awesome. That's great. It's wonderful. I feel so happy. That might not occur. But at least that reflective sense can happen. Okay. What's the wise thing to do in this situation? Remember this. Remember this feedback. Remember what's being said. And just take some time to process it and really understand, you know, is this something that is true about me? How can I use this? How can I correct this about myself? If it is true, we might even want to ask the person some more. Do you have anything else? Did I get this right? We might even see that it was something so deep in us that we didn't recognize that we value it so much that we want more from that other person because they've given us such a precious thing. And when other people offer us this, then there is that chance to kind of open up to our own foibles and problems where we might be lost on the path. We might have kind of jumped ship, but not really known it. Or we might be going in a direction that is leading us downwards and we're following that and another is reminding us, hey, I know you're not seeing this, but this is what I'm seeing. And so it's really up to us because sometimes when we hear that, we ignore it and we keep going down and we're not able to rectify our own situation because we don't want to know that truth. We don't want to take that gem in. We discard it. As I said, like it's like somebody giving us excrement instead. We just throw it aside, this dirty thing. But that is very sad because it's that thing that we perceive as dirty that we don't see that it really is something so valuable. It's something that could actually save us, could bring us out of the muck that we're in and back on the path. And so sometimes we forget that when somebody is giving us something like this, somebody is giving us some feedback, criticism, or a way that's alternative to the way we're behaving, we just kind of see the person as the problem, the other person, what they're saying, and we want to just kind of keep doing our own thing because that's the way of the defilements, that's the way of our unwholesome tendencies and our habits. And so if we're going in that direction, sometimes it is helpful for somebody to kind of shake us and wake us up. But it's up to us if we're going to be woken up. It's up to us if we're going to receive that and take that in. And so those who are beginning the path or those who have been in it a while, this is just an incredibly important aspect of how we train. Because if we ignore this about ourselves and we show ourselves to be what we call unadmonishable or a person who can't receive feedback, a person who won't receive feedback, who is uninviting of it, then unfortunately, the Buddha calls that the death of the holy life for those who are ordained. Because without that feedback, there's little chance for growth. We tend to wear blinders on, just see from our own perception perspectives. So this is a reflection about how important it is for us to do something that is difficult to do. And to kind of wake ourselves up to the chance to really offer ourselves to be given criticism, be given feedback, be given help from others who are seeing parts of us that we're not able to see for ourselves for one reason or another. And when we do that, we really give ourselves the chance of living the Buddhist path, the chance of seeing very clearly, and the chance of being helped by others and opening ourselves to others. And so one of the things that is helpful for others to perceive in us is that we are a person who is open to feedback. And even more so that we invite that feedback. And when we do that, then we open ourselves up to so many gems, so many riches and so many possibilities for us to learn more about ourselves and to really penetrate and realize the Dhamma in a much deeper way. So I offer that for some words of reflection.